The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Very important what's been happening in the Supreme Court. This is probably the most important Supreme Court decision since the Trump presidency, the second Trump presidency, because it's the end of these activist judges. It's the end. They cannot mess the whole nation with a single case anymore. That is massive. Basically, the idea behind the Supreme Court decision that has happened today is, okay, there's these judges. They have a single case. Let's say Trump makes an executive order that says, take all of these people and deport them. And now there's a single person in this. Let's say that the executive order may have targeted 1 million people. There's a single person whose rights are being violated legitimately, let's say. And that person is like, hey, I shouldn't be targeted by this the way this executive, because of my personal situation, let's say I'm pregnant or I have a baby or whatever. You have a special case that makes it so that the executive order violates your rights. And I'm keeping it theoretical because it really doesn't matter the details. It's the general idea that happened today, which is there's no more nationwide, universal injunctions that they call. So there's no more universal injunction, except if all of the people targeted by the executive order are in the same situation. So now, let's say that the person has a personal issue in her life that makes it so that the executive order violates her right. What the activist judges were doing before is they were saying, all right, Trump, you stop enforcing this executive order. But they were basically taking a one case and they were messing the actions of the Trump administration on a million other cases where they could have, they could not have had those special circumstances, and perhaps the executive order was perfectly legitimate. So what the judges were doing basically is setting an instant precedent across the nation, barring any further action. Now, what the Supreme Court says now is, hey, judge at the court level, you are responsible for that one person that is complaining. You are not responsible for obstructing the government in mass on the millions of other cases that could be legitimate. You hear that one person, you make decision based on that one person. You can't then, create an umbrella of protection for a million other people who don't qualify, who are not necessarily in the same situation as the one arguing, as the complainant. So at this point, courts have been told to stay on their case by the Supreme Court, and that is massive because now an activist judge can just mess one case. That is massive, very, very important, because you can't have a million cases. There are a lot of immigrants who will not pursue a case in court because they know something will come out where they look bad and they will lose anyway. So really, if your rights are truly violated, now you go to court, but you don't mess the deportation operation on a million other people that are unrelated to you. that severely restrains the capacity of activist judges to mess the system. And I believe that it is also first principle based correct. I believe that the Supreme Court has been correct, and that I don't believe that Ketanji Brown Jackson, people are laughing their ass off and they're dunking on her. I don't think she's that far. But ultimately, Amy Coney Barrett is right. Because what Ketanji Brown Jackson says is, well, you know, if this person has a right, the person that is complaining, then everyone should have that right. And so if you stop the administration enacting on this person, then you have to give the equal rights to everyone. But that is true when a decision has been made, say, by the Supreme Court, that the whole of the executive order is constitutional violation. But it cannot be the case when it's a matter of subtleties and single individual examples. So where she's wrong is simply in the expansion of an umbrella of protection on something that has a precedent that has been established. That's okay. But it's not okay for single judges of courts that are concentrated on a single case to be able to impact the entirety of the functioning of the nation. And Amy Coney Barrett ultimately says to Ketanji Brown Jackson, you are complaining that this gives imperial power to Trump. But if Trump doesn't have this imperial power, who has it? The judges in the courts. And at this point, it's a SCOTUS decision where basically we don't want imperial judges locally any more than we want imperial, executive orders. So she's right. She's absolutely right. If that power is not wielded by Trump to a certain extent, it will be wielded by the Democrat judges that are in these individual jurisdictions. John Drake says Trump was going to pull an A.B. Lincoln and start to ignore these judges. The Supreme see this coming and did the right thing. Absolutely, it's kind of loosened here, the tension. But there was a legitimate tension, and it's fine that they did this, because Trump had a good reason to start ignoring these things, because we're stuck with the problem of activist Democrat judges. And that is a terror that is much graver to me than a single ruler with a little too much power. Blimpy Supervisor says it's legally quilted, no longer a blanket overreach. Absolutely. John Drake says huge win. The Supremes have seen a constitutional crisis barreling down the road. Yes, absolutely. It was an expectation that the administration couldn't continue doing anything. They do Doge, the courts come in and say, no, you don't do Doge, and oh no, you don't do this and that. They do deportations, they come in and they blanket ban certain executive orders. That's just too much power to be had by a judge who has looked at a single case. Just too much power. But at this point, this case was around the default assumption. Democrat judges were working with the default assumption that, well, everything is evil in a Trump executive order. And so if we can detect one case that has led to a civil rights violation, then all the executive order is wrong. But now the default assumption is no. The government is trying to respect the law most of the time, and these executive orders will have a valid justification to exist most of the time. Now, they may breach the rights of certain individuals, in which case we will rescue these individuals by a proper judiciary review, but we will not work with the assumption that the government is evil. We will work with the assumption that the government is trying to do a job that it has to do, that is very important, and you're gonna have to have the burden of proof on whether a entire executive order is all wrong, and it cannot possibly have a legitimate use. And that's a big burden, and it's a burden that's typically met at the Supreme Court level when many cases have accumulated and they get to the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court decides, is this law salvageable or not salvageable? And there was this idea, when they do review of laws of Congress, there is a criteria where if a part of the law is rescuable, you have to rescue it. You cannot just bar the whole law. If there was a way in which the law could be respectful of the Constitution, it has to be partly barred. Only the part that violates the Constitution needs to be barred. And they've kind of did the same principle on universal injunction. The universal injunction must be, they say that it must be broad to an extent where it's necessary, but not more. So if you have a pregnant woman that, in this case, the executive order violates her right because her baby is to be born in the U.S., blah, 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 then you do a universal injunction on this executive order being applied to any pregnant woman, but not the million others that are not pregnant. That is how the SCOTUS decision plays out. Very good. Very good for people who want to see immigration government action and any sort of government action, really, by a right wing, an anti-immigration, or a generally Republican side. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the Streamlabs link. On-screen tips are available at streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip. Alternatively, you can also use Rumble Super Chats or the link to Entropy that is pinned in the chat. Warpig Lindsey Graham says the U.S. failed to bomb Iran's 900-pound supply of 60% enriched uranium.
Here's where we're at. The program was obliterated at those three sites, but they still have ambitions. I don't know where the 900 pounds of highly enriched uranium exists, but it wasn't part of the target set.
Are you concerned that in light of several years, when the administration is saying it's obliterated, it suggests that they're not able to build a weapon. You're saying in several years, perhaps they'll be able to.
That's what I'm saying. They're obliterated today, but you can reconstitute it.
These guys are not gonna give up. Always hope for war for Lindsey Graham. You will never give up. There will always be something left to bomb. And that's where we are at in the Israel-Iran situation. It's calmed down a lot. Some people are saying, well, there's still some strikes from the Israeli side, but they were kind of shut down by Trump publicly, and it's very restricted compared to the first days of the war. It seems that Israel has given up continuing on the Iran front and instead is actually targeting its civil population in the West Bank and burning houses of residents, and also targeting South Lebanon with bombardment. So it seems that Israel is... has contained its troublemaking instinct for now, says New Guy Prime. Yeah, sure, for now. But it seems like a relatively solid calm down, stable as I expected it to be. Not any more, not any less. Blimpy Supervisor says that's like when a drunk father gets in a fight, he can't win and goes home to beat the wife. Yeah, there is this myth. Is it true though, or is it a leftist subversive meme? I don't know. I've not been in a violent family, so I don't know. And I'm not a violent man, but I don't know. Some of these memes you have to be careful with, because they paint the man as the irrational aggressor at all times. And not sure if it's that true. The Golden One is taking a break from the internet. I am a bit tired after 10 long years under the Damocles sword. Thus, I am taking a little break over the coming time. I need to re-energize myself because next year will be extremely important for the future of Sweden. The 2026 election might be the most important one in Swedish history. An election is election. It will neither completely save us nor completely doom us. A good way to look at it is as a battle. An election victory, strong support for SD, will give us an advantageous position to work from to restore order to Sweden. A defeat will put us in quite a bad position. We will see what can be done. Anyway, I will make fewer videos over the coming time. I will write some book reviews and the podcast will be out once a month. As usual, I will also endeavor to do some calligraphy to optimize my levels of joy onwards. The Golden One, this muscle man of Sweden, is lowering his output onto the internet. That is fine. Much respect to him. I don't know much of his content, but I know he's been a stable voice for the preservation of Swedish demographics. And that is to be respected. New Guy Prime says calligraphy. I don't know what that is. Is it the writing or is it writing with burning elements where you burn into the wood? I don't know. Today I've made an educational activity in the home. Kids have been learning to make a cake. Beautiful cake prepared by my kids here. Strawberries are meant to represent nose, eyes, and mouth. That was a point of insistence, even though it makes the strawberry shares unfair. Just a basic cake with glazing, cream cheese flavored glazing. We had a big cake here, a small cake here. And it leads to portions like this. Absolutely delicious. Although I'm not a cake person, it's an easy thing that you can use to introduce the idea of a recipe and the idea of waiting and the idea of patience and of discipline and ingredients. Someone drove a car into a fireworks shop.
Oh my gosh, this car just freaking drove into the fireworks place. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Holy cow. Oh my just drove into the fireworks store. And it is going to explode.
Wow. That is a lot of energy released.
Oh my god. Holy crackers and cheese.
Well, it seems that Greatest Whitest North says he has seen a dancing Israeli. Was there someone dancing in celebration of the fireworks assault? I didn't see. But perhaps he saw a dancing Israeli. We're getting more inside because there was a lot of, during the bombardments between Israel and Iran, there was a lot of censorship. Israel was actually going after its own people, saying, don't release any video of damage. They didn't want any damage to be seen by Iran. Now we're having video, for example, that comes later of this Mossad HQ, apparently. That is what is claimed. Pretty extensive damage. So the structure still stands, but extensive damage, and this claimed on the Iranian side that $3 billion worth of damage has been produced. Now, someone is telling me that this was a faked video. That's old. Oh, the fireworks is old. Okay. No, the fireworks, I thought it was a recent video. So you're telling me it is a old video. I didn't know that. Ruth Sternwood says, the dancer strongly resembled Stefan Molyneux's mother. Parenthesis, stepmother, born in Berlin in 1937 to one of the usual clans. Yes, yesterday I published this old TPS episode on my Twitter, and I made it available for download from my own server. Is Stefan lying to us? This is a classical TPS episode. It was good to see me younger with this red shirt that I had. And basically, I do a whole show about all the statements that Stefan Molyneux has made across the years. My mother was not Jewish. My mother was Jewish. My mother came from a Jewish environment. My mother... And it's fascinating because there's still not a very clear answer. Stefan Molyneux definitely has contradicted himself across the years, but perhaps in a way that makes sense. Perhaps in one place he's talking she was not Jewish religiously. Perhaps in the other case she's saying she was Jewish ethnically. In any case, I think that the result of the episode was to conclude that Stefan Molyneux is at least 50% ethnically Jewish, but that a 23andMe could give perhaps better insight. By the way, I just saw the lights turn off for a moment. If I disappear, don't worry about it. I'll try to come back, but I am in a storm right now, so I don't know if the electricity will survive. There is a storm coming toward my home, so... And I can lose electricity at times, so don't worry if that's the case. We have here a bison. A bison died from hanging out in a hot spring at the Yellowstone National Park. Look at this. Bison life is not easy. So he was just going to chill in the hot spring. But the problem is there's some boiling water in there, and it was too warm for the bison. He gets splashed by vapors of extremely boiling hot water, and then he falls. Too much heat, overheating. Do not approach wildlife, but in this case, yes, it would have been dangerous. We have esteemed bison here. Blimpy Supervisor says already cooked sous vide. Well, bison life is hard. Bison life is hard. Greatest White says Alberta is getting hit hard. We got a tea storm in Edmonton as well. Okay. Yes, I mean, I see it. It's coming. The clouds from the north are coming. It's dark, very dark. And I felt some drops of rain on my face as I was outside today. So it's coming very soon. I can feel it's going to be a strong storm. Things aren't going well for off-brand Destiny. Crash out by Dean Withers here because he's smoking a little vape thing. But he insists that it's not a vape. It's his anti-anxiety, what, medicine? Or recreational drug or whatever. So he insists that this is not normal vape. It is his anti-anxiety medication, and now he's crashing out.
I'm sorry that I have anxiety. Okay, and honestly, yeah, it is kind of the fault of people like you that want to come up here and bully and berate me over something that I don't do! Okay, so cut the shit. It's not a vape. All right? It's an anxiety pin. And God, the amount of times that I've asked you to respect me and respect my anxiety pin is at this point getting ridiculous, Cody. So please.
Justified crash out.
For the final and for the billionth time, will you please just respect the fact that it's not a vape and that it's an anxiety pin?
It's a goddamn anxiety pin. Get it right.
What flavor is your bait?
Yo, you really got me.
Get the fuck out.
Get him out.
I hate women.
Okay, get out. You get out too.
Bro, it must be quite. It must be a nightmare to be a leftist, because you're surrounded by these people who are prone to false allegations, delusions, falsehoods. And in a way, Dean Witters, you have imposed this on yourself. You will live among falsehoods because you have surrounded yourself with a political ideology that rests on falsehoods and concepts of thievery, and everything is mine, and I don't care if it's real or not, it's mine. What is an anxiety pen? An anxiety pen, according to NeuroLaunch, also known as a stress relief pen, is a portable device designed to provide quick and easy anxiety relief. Offer a convenient and discreet method for individuals to find moments of calm throughout their day without relying on traditional medications or time-consuming relaxation techniques. Well, it boils down to this. I don't care about all this. I want to know what's in the pen. Okay. So there are three types of drugs in the anxiety pen. Aromatherapy pens. So I'm sure chamomile, bergamot, lavender. I'm sure that this one is the least interesting. Two, CBD pens for anxiety. So here you have CBD or cannabidiol, a non-psychoactive compound derived from the hemp plant. Yeah, so that's the second constituent of marijuana. And three, nicotine-free anxiety vape pens. These pens provide a similar experience to traditional vaping, but without the nicotine content. They often contain herbal blends or other calming ingredients designed to promote relaxation. And then you have anxiety inhaler pens. These devices resemble inhalers used for asthma, and it provides doses of essential oils and herbal extracts. And five, anxiety diffuser pen, a fine mist of essential oils or other calming substances. So is anxiety pen may have CBD or may have a mix of other oils or whatever. Frog Eyes says, I hear his favorite vape pen, his flavor is Cockaberry Blast. Is that is that a real flavor? Interesting. U.S. President Trump is considering lifting all sanctions on Iran. Academic agent was asking, can anyone explain what the hell this total schizo is doing? But I think it makes sense. I mean, if you want to keep Iran in a peace mode, you're going to have to do some stuff. And sanctions are very inefficient at first. And they are keeping a country down. So there's no reason to keep Iran down if Iran doesn't have a nuclear program anymore. So it's exactly as I had phrased it throughout this week and last week. Either you're a competent military person and you did blow up the nuclear sites, or you're not. But if you are, then Iran doesn't have nuclear anymore. Then you can't claim for weeks, if you're Israel, you can't claim wanting to bomb further sites. AA unbanned says end of the line, Joel. Yeah, I think he had been banned on Twitter, but that was a long time ago. He came back at some point, I think. Pentagon creates new 250-mile military buffer zone at Texas-Mexico border. That is really good. Because, anyways, the military, you know, wherever they are, they're doing their exercises. They really serve nothing a priori. So why not put them to just stand at the border? And it just makes the passing more difficult, passing through these fences. So I'm totally for it. I think we're getting something good with Trump. We're getting an actual fight against illegal immigration. Now, it's not as much as we would have wanted. We would have wanted denting into the legal immigration side. And in a way, we get this. We get this when Trump decides to go after 500,000, you know, immigrants that were kind of pardoned or let in by Biden, and he deports them. So we're getting a mix of a strong fight against illegal immigration, which is great. We're getting army at the border to stop the passing, to stop the flow. And we're getting some fight on the inside. I think we can celebrate all of this. Not perfect, but very good. Better than having the Democrats. Better than what Kamala Harris would have done. So it's a start. It's a very good start. Iran is planning a massive deal to purchase more than 40 Chinese Chengdu J-10C fighter jets to strengthen its air power. People were pointing out, well, you know, these fighter jets on their own, they would get destroyed by other fighter jets. But it's not like it will give Iran air dominance. But it does give them a method of delivery that perhaps will be useful to them to have some air presence. And so where we're seeing the ties between China and Iran are reinforced by the recent events. And I believe it's China is just realizing, look, Israel is never going to stop. They're going to get to my border. I mean, think of it from the Ukraine war perspective. What the warmongers wanted you to buy as an argument was, look, if we don't stop Russia at the Ukraine border, they're going to keep going. They're going to keep going. When in fact, it's the contrary. The reality is we kept going. We kept going into surrounding Russia up to the Ukraine border. But think of it from the perspective of China now. If I'm China, and if I'm Russia to a certain extent, I see the Israel-American empire extending constantly, deciding now what my neighbor does, Iran, and deciding what my oil producer does in Iran. So if I'm China, I'm scared that there is an empire rising beside me, and it's controlling my allies to the point of perhaps eventually integrating them, doing some regime change war that will force them their side. And now I'm an isolated China. And now I'm isolated in a potential war for the Asian world. Frog Eyes says, no, Iran, don't do it. Don't order those jets from Temu. Temu, I've not been into it. I see the ads everywhere on the internet. So Temu is like a Chinese Amazon, if I understand correctly. I've not went into it at all. I've not ordered stuff from it. I don't know what to think about it. I'm getting tired now. Frog Eyes says, YouTube video ID. I ordered the cheapest Chinese fighter jet off AliExpress.
On-screen tips at Or.
Wow, greatest whitest. Thank you very much for the big donation. Again, I have not yet did the outro. Although my life is going well. I'm cleaning a lot. I'm doing renovations that needed to be done in the home. And so I'm getting there. But thank you so much. And you are right. Those are the links. Entropy and Streamlabs to give tips to the show. Israel breaks ceasefire assassination attempt. Israel has conducted an assassination attempt in the heart of Tehran by drone. A drone targeted an apartment in a high rise. And Khamenei, as the leader of Iran, has not been seen recently. That was the news yesterday. That, hey, he's not been seen publicly for a while. Has he been killed by one of the strikes? I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen any updates on this. But yesterday, he had not been seen yet. And who knows? Maybe he got assassinated. But again, as I've said before, even this wouldn't be that dramatic. Because you can't do a efficient, effective regime change war from a distance. A regime change war works if you have control of the local population, you have propaganda outlets, you have NGOs funding and pouring money into the system and controlling what people do. Then you may get something like a spring, an Arab Spring. But even the Arab Springs, you know, they have been limited in their reach, and eventually certain of these countries that were targeted by Arab Springs didn't turn the way the American Empire wanted to turn. So if you were to just kill Khamenei in Iran, you would still have the problem that a replacement will rise within the logic of the current regime. You need much more than this to actually cause a regime change that goes your way. John Drake says, pretty sure he is hiding. Iran usually announces assassinations straight away. Yeah, so it depends on how they act. There are certain regimes where they delay these announcements. But yeah, Iran might be organized enough to know if he was dead. Frog Eyes says, maybe Alberta housewives can look into it. Last seen being dropped off at a local gas station by a Mossad agent. Man, the Alberta housewives aren't doing good. Holy shit, are they making an obsession about me. Absolute lies they publish. And now they're publishing 3 or 4 videos a day on me. It's like, your channel should be about something else than JF, because clearly you're not making the views. You know, I see some of these videos. They try to superimpose my statements out of context onto other videos. It's very dishonorable. And they even got video of my old house, but it's like, you got video of a house that I don't own anymore. And the state of that house is not my responsibility. And it's so dishonorable because I sold that house handshake style with someone who knew what he was buying. So it's not like this person is complaining. I did some rebates on the price of the house because I know the house is not a superb house. Now, it's a house that I sold at a higher price than I bought. So I improved this house a lot. And I improved it to get about $20,000 profit. Now, on these cheap houses, and I've been telling you guys for many years, I buy a house at the bottom of the market. I buy houses that are almost destroyed, and I restore them because I know a lot of things. There's not a thing in the house I can't do, maybe except electrical work sometimes and roof work. I'm just afraid of roofs. I just don't want to die. But other than this, I can fix pretty much everything in a house, including the plumbing. And so it's like they filmed this house, but this house is in the process of construction by other people. For example, they show there's destroyed parts of a wall in the back of the house with glue, with construction glue on the sides. And it's like, this is not the state of the house when I left it. This is not the house I lived in. It's a house that has been bought by an expert who just like me, makes houses better. And this person has decided to do some construction work. And as part of it, he demolished the back door. Now, if you find this, it's a, this was the circumstances in which JF kept Elora. No. It's a house that's being worked on by a builder, by someone who bought this house knowingly that he had to do some work on it. But don't show me the demolished version of the house and tell me that's where I lived. It's a demolished house because someone is working on it. And they chose to renew the door. And so be it. Now, it's only because of the work I've done that they can now think of redoing the door. Because I've done the floor, I've done the walls. They're spick and span, they're well painted, they're all holes patched. When I got this house, it wasn't like this. So, yeah, they can dream eventually selling this house for a much higher price because of the work I've done across the years and now because of the work they're doing. But to present this to the public as, wow, this is an inside look at where JF was living. No, it's a construction field that you're looking at. And the people who have bought this house are not like, oh my God, you sold us a dirty house. No, because they knew what was the work they needed to do, and I knew. So we agreed on a price. This is why journalism should never go into a consensual relationship and nag about it. Because your nagging is irrelevant. This is a house I bought at $50,000. $50,000, and I sold it $20,000 more. Money speaks at some point, Alberta Housewives. But you can't understand this language because you're a woman. But money speaks. And the fact that I sold this house at higher price than I bought it tells you everything you need to know about the JF effect. Let's call it the JF effect. JF walks around the universe and makes everything better. I fix houses. I make money out of fixing houses. I fix women. I don't make money out of fixing women, but I make babies out of fixing women. So the JF effect is real. This is what you need to understand. Frog Eyes says, someone paid JF $20,000 to clean up his crime scene for him. And Terrace Theory. Yeah, I'm just delegating. I'm just the perfect murderer, but I delegate crime scene washing to unknown people, unknown strangers. I just trust them. Rodita Sid says, JF, did you remember to get your aluminum plates with BTC passphrases from inside the walls? You think I'll forget this, bro? Bro. There are priorities in my life, and I'm not forgetting the aluminum plates. My bitcoins are always on the move. They're always spreading to new addresses. By the time you find an aluminum plate that I would have forgotten, you'll see that it has made 5 jumps into the future. I'm ahead of you if you look for my aluminum plates. No, don't worry. I have my priorities in place, you know. Let's not forget that to me, real estate is not an investment opportunity. It is not the center of my life, and it is not the center of my wealth. So to me, it's a bonus thing that I do because I like improving the world. And I really love real estate improvement. So when I get into a house, I look at the fundamentals that truly increase the value of the house. Not doing much cosmetic improvement, although floors sometimes end up being cosmetic. But I'm looking water heater. Like when I got into this house on PEI, the well was a 1937 well, like Second World War well, with a lever mechanism and pulley roulette. Whenever you were opening the sink and you were hearing tick 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 tick, but replace the whole thing with a fresh modern pump, patch some leaks, water leaks, insulation. So I started insulating the whole of the second floor. So it's like, oh yeah, you see one wall is destroyed on the second floor. Yeah, but turn the camera around for a minute and you'll see that I insulated an entire half floor with new Gyproc, new tar paper, new aluminum insulation, and new pink foam. Then I insulated the entire granary. Just modern paper-based insulation. I installed a heat pump for energy efficiency. I took this house from costing about $600 worth of energy per month in the winter to $300 worth of energy per month. Now, that is value. That is value to the world. That is carbon. That is the carbon footprint. I'm carbon negative. That is how intense it is. I'm so carbon negative, I can afford on the side to eat some cheese and produce some pollutions. I'm still in the positive. So this is real value. This is what these housewives don't understand. They're after the hit piece on JF. We want to show that this house was not proper somehow. Well, first, don't show it while it's in construction by someone else than me. Second, please understand that construction is what men do to improve the world. And this is where these women wanting this kind of imperial, female empire to be built around us, they will never win. Because no matter how much you pay yourself in your structures of bureaucracy and waste, and you pay yourself these salaries for these marketing positions while you hang out at the pool, there will always be a man willing to live in a house that you're not willing to live in, to make it into a house that you're willing to live in. And because of this woman, I'm speaking to all women on the earth here, you will always lose. Always. Because Papa JF is willing to learn plumbing to make something that you don't desire into something that you desire. Papa JF is not even at the end of the chain. I'm a guy who works in the range, very, very busted house to, oh, I can see how this house could be livable. This is where I work. I work in the 50K range. Those are wrecked houses, man. When you get into it, you wonder if it will hold. But then, oh, add a pillar here. Now the floor has some structure. Oh, the floor was going down like this in the kitchen. Add a pillar there. Jack a little bit. Put a 4x4 pillar under it. Build a little bit of concrete support for the pillar. Change the heat pump. Change the water pump. Patch these cracks. Insulate. Boom, you got a house another guy can come, because this house was not bought by a desiring young couple wanting to live in it. It was bought by a guy who saw the work that I've done and said, hey, he's taken it to 70K. I can take it to 150K. Now, that's your job. I'm not the guy of details. I'm a guy of fundamentals. And that the Alberta housewives are intervening in this consensual relationship that is the buying of a house. That is disgusting to me, because the Alberta housewives can complain all they want. The guy who bought the house never complained. He has my phone number. He has my lawyers. If something wasn't as I said it was, he could wreck us in court. He could get back his money. He could wreck my life, really, because you can get sued for $100K for selling a house under false pretenses. None of this happened, not even a complaint, because their coverage, these Alberta housewives, is a full misunderstanding of the man world. Men are making the world better. And because you deprive yourselves of the male input, because you go into these psychotic directions, you're going to fail. And you're going to end up, no matter how much you do, no matter how much salary you have, it will eventually be drained by a male who wants to do something that you don't want to do. Or you don't want to do the plumbing. Or you don't want to change the water pump. Or you don't want to live in a place that where the floor is a little bit wobbly. Well, okay, I want to, and I want to make it better. That's how I make money. Cat Lady Genocide says, women only have shaming tactics, JF. Yeah. So it's very disappointing to see someone so obsessed. She's obsessed about me, and to the point where I have here, at this point, I'm within the defamation to criminal harassment range. Because at this point, they are saying false stuff about my private life, and they're invading my privacy in the process. They're not even doing it well, because they're invading really the privacy of the new owner, because I'm not there anymore. But it's very disgusting, absolutely disgusting. I wish there was help available for these women, but I can't help them. I can't help them. But they will ruin their YouTube channel by obsessing so much over a single subject. It's like, give it up. You got your moment in the glory light of celebrity, and it's when I went to your channel. And when I went to your channel, you did the biggest episode ever with the most views ever. It's all downhill from here because you didn't confront me when I went to your channel. You didn't have the balls to confront me. If you have something to say to me, why don't you say it when I go to your channel? If you're scared that I will run away, then say it at the end of the show. But no, they didn't do this. Instead, they let me speak on their interview, and then days later they revert and they switch to, oh, he's an asshole, oh, we're gonna invade his privacy. Well, very sad, extremely sad, based on the acquisition of facts that is just incorrect. If your process for acquisition of fact is rooted in falsehoods and false premises, like the premise that because the house is that way now, it must have been that way forever, you are headed toward lying to yourself. Cat Lady Genocide says, the Mama JF Benzo's comments was very low, even for them. Yeah, really out of nowhere. It's like, we spoke to a neighbor, and the neighbor believes that she may have been on benzos. Bro, do you think I would have done all of these shows across the year laughing at Jordan Peterson for his benzo addiction? If I had a benzo addict just beside me as my loved one? They invent stuff. Here we have a rap performance by... apparently, the new mayor of, well, the candidate for mayor of NYC, he had old rap videos. This is very brown coded. Go ahead, make And it seems to be always involved in some street food thing. There was a clip of him going to street food vendors and saying, "Hey, how much could we reduce the price of your meals if you didn't have to get this license?" Now, I'm actually with this guy. I think it would be great if he was a mayor of New York. Not because we have the same politics. But let's be clear here. This guy, for example, went to a food truck and he exposed that the food truck and restaurant license in New York is officially $500. But what you have is the bureaucrats are not going to give it to you. They're going to make you wait on a queue that takes 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and you still don't have your license. So you can't realistically start a business under this licensing system. What they end up doing is they end up purchasing the already existing license of someone else. And so you have a bunch of specialists who are basically creating a monopoly of restaurant licenses. So they apply, they have their own people in the bureaucracy that ensure that it goes relatively fast. Then they take that $500 license and they charge $22,000 for it. So now you have to pay $22,000, maybe a year, I don't know, maybe yearly. Now you have to pay $22,000 instead of $500 because a racket of monopoly has been developed because the bureaucracy is so slow that it's the only path to a restaurant. So this guy wants to abolish this kind of thing. I'm totally for it. Abolish the bureaucracy of New York. If you can do this in other domain, sure, liberate New York. Blimpy supervisor says, how many shawarmas for that lease license, mate? Yes. So now I'm sure, of course, he has this whole defund the police stuff, pro-trans stuff. I'm against this in principle, but at the same time, if we're going to wreck New York City, wreck it for good. It's like, yeah, make New York a living hell and create a demonstration to the world so that in 30 years from now, people will say, look, I remember New York. It wasn't like that. Let's not do like New York. And at the same time, he's triggering the Israelis so hard. I want this guy to be New York mayor. Because I don't care what he does to New York. And ultimately, he's making the Israelis so... And the Con Inc., the Charlie Kirk, everyone is dumping on him. And it's interesting because it's what we've been saying for many years. The Jews will have to face the fact that a component of the immigration they fight so hard for, that they want to destroy the white population, is ultimately more hateful toward Jews and more red-pilled on the Jewish question than the whites that they're trying to replace. So it's like, yeah, you're going to have to live with the brown people that you've imported here for the purpose of invasion and white replacement. So I don't see anything wrong with this guy being the New York mayor. I think we should make a campaign for him. I think we should root for him. It's great. There's nothing wrong with what will happen. New York will self-punish. There may be basically a rule of gangster that emerges into New York where the police can't do their job anymore. If you're a white policeman in New York, it's time to run. Get out of there. Because it's going to turn into a place of systematic violence and no punishment for crimes. White genocide, says Andrew Torba. Census Bureau estimates out today show that the U.S. population grew by 3.3 million between July 2023 and July 2024, with 100% of growth coming from communities of color 86% from Latinos and Asians, of course. Because they're making babies and they get immigration. So we have to fix this. This is where legal immigration causes the fact that all other races are growing, but whites aren't, because whites are happy. Whites don't need to immigrate into the US because they're happy in whatever white country they still live in. Yeah, so that is pretty much what I had to say for tonight. I've been reading the whole SCOTUS decision. I've already given my commentary on this at the beginning of the show. But in summary, and having read the whole Ketanji Brown Jackson reply, I don't think that Ketanji is that far out. I don't think she should be ridiculed for her opinion. Our opinion, our vision is, well, if a judge at the court level protects a right to an individual who's affected by an executive order, then everyone should be protected. But ultimately, she's wrong because there's a way we can protect everyone without canceling the whole of the executive order. That's what the majority is arguing for. The majority is saying, if there's someone, an individual that is hurt, that has his constitutional rights violated by an executive order, you can protect that person, and then you can protect people who are in the exact same situation. So if you cancel the executive order for this person because she's pregnant and she lives there and this happened, then the only extent to which you can cancel the executive order is for the other people who are in the same circumstance. But you cannot go out and say the executive order as a whole is invalid for everyone else. And this is a major decision, the most important that has happened by SCOTUS in the second presidency of Trump, because this totally bars universal injunctions that are overreaching. From now on, judges will be just capable of affecting one case. So affect your case all you want. If Trump has a million deportations going on and five of them trigger some escalation in the courts, that is not a problem at all. We're going to argue and it's going to take years and we're going to do appeals. But during these appeals, the other 1 million will be kicked out. That is what's great, and to celebrate what deserves being celebrated in this decision. Another Frog Eyes says, when did anchor baby become anchor pregnancy? I mean, there are serious issues related to this. It's not that every baby made is an anchor baby, see? The problem is, if you're going to let tourism happen, and if you're going to let temporary workers happen, there's going to be some intermixing between your population and the others. Now, you don't want to interfere with the capacity of American women and men to have children with whoever they want. But sometimes that person will end up being on some status. So there are legitimate questions of right raised by babies and pregnancies in the immigration business. It's not always that it's an anchor baby. In fact, anchor baby is pretty rare. Pretty rare. Well, what's mostly happening is there are legitimate babies being produced by one citizen parent and one non-citizen parent. That is what matters. Donald Trump says on Canada, we have just been informed that Canada, a very difficult country to trade with, including the fact that they have charged our farmers as much as 400% tariffs for years on dairy products, has just announced that they are putting a digital services tax on our American technology companies, which is a direct and blatant attack on our country. They are obviously copying the European Union, which has done the same thing and is currently under discussion with us also. Based on this egregious tax, we are hereby terminating all discussions on trade with Canada, effective immediately. we will let Canada know the tariff that they will be paying to do business with the United States of America within the next 7-day period. Thank you for your attention on this matter. I love this. So this tax is a tax that is attempted by Carney on stuff like Netflix, like maybe YouTube subscription, digital platform subscription of some sort, okay? And the problem is these taxes are presented as, oh, we have to stop the flow of American culture in Canada so that our artists can produce and be successful. But wait a minute, Papa JF is a Canadian artist. I'm creating art here every day. And Papa JF is not receiving any of this money. Instead, this money is getting redirected to the official state-approved equivalent, the CBC or other mainstream media in Canada. And Papa JF never gets a grab at that money. So your tax is bullshit. You're not really about Canadian content. You're about the kind of Canadian content you want to control. So I'm all for this war to happen. Because, well, first, it will go beyond the digital services. Trump is saying, across the board, I will impose a tariff on Canada. Now, perhaps he will leave a door open for all to save Alberta. And perhaps he's going to say, for everything else, boom, 500% tariff or whatever. And this will kill Canadian to U.S. exports and trade. I hope that this happens because Trump was aggressive at the beginning. But I hope that it happens simply because I want to see the Canadian system wrecked, fully wrecked. I want to be the last exporter of good old Canadian art. I want to see these state-approved artists of Canada on the streets begging for food. And I'd be like, here's a strawberry cake that my kids did. You can eat. But I want them to be completely begging to Papa JF for just a slice of his Bitcoin. And then we'll be in a fair market in Canada. I think that Trump might save me in many ways in terms of making me once again the king of Canada that I should be. Rodilla says the government should force the CBC to air JFG Tonight as Canadian content. Exactly. As long as they don't do this, then this whole system is a bureaucrat-led, state-controlled flow of money. You might as well say it's taxation. It's Canadian taxation of American subscription services. But like media freedom has been the standard, and Canada is going totally the other way with faked out stuff, productions that are over costly, and instead of being just honest and have someone like me be honest about the news, and you can produce a news show for 100 times less money, you know. Ruth Sternwood says nuking the CRTC and letting everybody transparently apply for CanCon subsidies would cause the death of the dinosaurs and the proliferation of small media mammals. Exactly. Beautiful future. Dino Raja says make JFG great again, starve the other Canadian artists. Exactly. And this will starve much more than the artist. It would be across the board with probably some exceptions. This is where I say, Trump, just make anything that comes from Alberta an exception. Just meddle with Canada. Just say, you know what? If it comes from Alberta, no tariffs. If it comes from anywhere else, tariffs. Boom! You just created an asymmetry within Canada. This is what you... please, if someone in the audience is close to Trump or can relay the message, please do this, Trump. You're going to favor a conservative direction, a sovereignty direction for Alberta. It's going to be fucking hilarious. And you're going to wreck the liberal Laurentian Canadian bureaucracy forever.